Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
Welcome, family. We're in week 2. Of our Into the Unknown series. And if you missed last week, I do want to encourage you to go check out the podcast because you want to keep up with the series. Trust me. But I want to do a little recap. I got 3 things from last week that I want to share what Miles shared with us. First was this in his Fire by Night talk. He said, if you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done or go somewhere you've never gone. And so if you want the Lord to use you in amazing ways, and if you want to see things in your life different than the way that they've been, you have to do things you've never done and go places you've never gone. The second thing he says, God's will is not a map. God's will is a match. So God's will is not turn-by-turn directions for your life. God's will is a match that lights you on fire from the inside out so that we would be an example of faith to the world around us in a world that is so unknown. And then the last thing that really got to me last week was that intimacy with God is always built in the mystery of God. Intimacy with God is always built in the mystery of God. You see, God is unknown. Like, if anything's unknown, God is, because he is infinite. He is infinite, and we cannot even scratch the surface of who or what he is. But he, in his kindness and grace, has made himself known to us and invited us into an intimate relationship with him so that we would have a guide as we go through the unknown. So that was last week. Again, if you missed it, please go check it out on the podcast. But this week, we're moving forward in this mystery of the unknown. And I want you to turn with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. It is right before James, right after Philemon. That is not a Pokemon, that is a person. That was a letter to a person. So go past Philemon, before James, and you will hit Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verses 8 through 19. It says this: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead, he was old, y'all, we'll talk about that in a second, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people, the writer had been talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. That sounds familiar. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. We're going to unpack this, the story of Abraham, everything. This week's message is titled Fearful Faith. Fearful faith. I do want to introduce you to Abraham. If you've been in church or if you're new to church, just a quick little synopsis of, of who Abraham is. You can find him in Genesis chapter 11 through Genesis chapter 25. It's kind of his life. He's mentioned other places in Scripture, obviously here in Hebrews. But I want to encourage you. I can't read that whole thing to you right now, but please go home this week, read Genesis 11 through 25, because this is an important relationship between Abraham and God, and it sets in motion a lot of things, a lot of promises that work themselves out over the next few thousand years up until this very day that we stand. So please go back and read that. But I want to introduce you to Abraham. Very important facts about Abraham for you to understand where we're going. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. You get it. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. You got it. Yeah. Okay, so that's like a history lesson on Abraham. So you go look up the lyrics to that song. That'll be on ACC Kids Worship album. Just kidding, that's not happening. But seriously, so Abraham is a huge figure, the father of faith in the Bible. And God is using this man in a huge way. And God says to Abraham in Genesis 11 and 12, he calls him, he says, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to go and leave everything you've ever known." And when Abraham shows up on the scene, when we see Abraham for the first time, he's 75 years old. 75. So please let that be encouragement to everyone in this room. You are not too old to be a part of the story of God, because before this moment, we know nothing about Abraham. His name was Abram. Did you even know that? God changed his name because when you spend enough time with God and you walk with God long enough, he'll change your identity. And so he calls him Abraham now instead of Abram. And so God says, "Abraham, I need you. I'm calling you. I'm asking you. Will you leave everything you've ever known? Everything you've ever known, your country, your people, your father's household. Every piece of identity you've ever had for 75 years. Can you imagine to the 20-year-old, to the 30-year-old, to the 40-year-old, to everyone in this room who is younger than 75, can you imagine a life where your identity is being stripped from you and God is saying, hey, will you just leave and go?" And God asks him, "Will you go?" And he says, "Yes." And the next question would probably be from you and I would be, "Well, where are we going?" And God says, "I'll tell you. I'll lead you. I'll lead you along the way. I can't tell you now, but I can promise you that I am leading you to the best place you could ever imagine." And then on top of that promise of leading him to the place that he just couldn't even imagine, God says, "Hey, I'm also gonna make you the father of a great nation." A great nation, like a nation so incredible and so big that there will be more people descended from you, Abraham, than there are stars in the sky. There will be more people descended from you than there is sand on the seashore. And I don't know about you, I've picked up sand before, and I couldn't even pick up a handful and count that, let alone every piece of sand in the whole world. This is how big the promise God is making to Abraham actually is. He's saying, "Abraham, if you will trust me, if you will step out into the unknown, into faith with me, you will be on the craziest journey, the best journey you've ever been on in your life." And I think the same invitation exists to us today to follow God through Jesus Christ into the unknown. And so I want to ask a question today. Could we maybe just say and agree on that the unknown may not, it's not really even a season or a certain point in time, that the unknown is really every single day of our lives? Like, would it be possible for us to agree that yes, there are times where we feel like we know less than we knew the day before about a certain situation, but when it's all said and done, every single day is really the unknown? Because today I'm healthy, I don't know if I will be tomorrow. I know what my bank account has in it today. That may change tomorrow. I know I have a job today. I hope I have one tomorrow, okay? But you see where I'm going with this? Everything in our lives, we think we know, like I know without a shadow of a doubt, this is true and this is true. But do you do I? Do we really know? Because I would propose that you and I didn't create the universe. Therefore, the only one who actually knows really anything of eternal value, of for sure value, is the creator of the universe, which isn't you and isn't me. So then logic would say, well, then I actually am living in the unknown, because I know very little compared to what is out there to be known. And so really, I and you are just like Abraham, who are sitting here going, wow, God has given me an invitation to go on this journey with him into the unknown. And as you look into Abraham's story, there's this open-ended, like God is saying, hey, just go, which infers, I'll tell you when to stop, but I just need you to go, which reminds me back in the day of red light, green light in elementary school. Anybody? Did anyone live in elementary school? Because if you played red light, green light, you lived. Because for the guys, it was a moment to show that speed to the ladies you've been looking at recess. You're like, girl, you watch me. I'm going to get this. Let's go, PE teacher. And for me, in elementary school, it was tough because I was chubby. I don't want you to feel bad for me. But this is a real life story. My mom would buy my Husky cargo jean shorts at Sears because it was the only place that had the half sizes that Husky people needed. And so I promise that's like a real thing. And so please just be nice to the kid in elementary school who is chubby, because he might turn out one day to be somewhat of an in-shape person. So anyways, so for red light, green light, like literally the point of red light, green light, if you didn't know this, was the PE teachers on the other side of the gym, and your friends and guys that you're racing are on the other side, and they say, green light, and you run as fast as you literally can as a chubby fifth grader, and then when they say, you run until they say, red light. And when they say red light, you have to stop, and I had a little trouble stopping back then. We're better now. But you run until you stop, and if you fumble over a little bit, you're out. So I was out a lot. But anyway, so I learned a lot about it from the sidelines. And so you stop, and then you go again when they say green light, and then you stop, and the PE teacher does it however many times they want. But the goal is to get where the PE teacher is. And the beautiful thing about Abraham's story and our story is that the PE teacher, who for us is God, is with us the whole way. He's not standing in a distant place going, run as hard and as fast as you can and try to reach me. God is saying, hey, Abraham, hey, Matt, hey, son, daughter, I'm with you the whole step of the way, and I'm going to lead you, but just don't stop until I tell you to stop. And don't go until I tell you to go. There is a pace of life in the life of the believer. There's a pace in following Jesus that we have to learn, we have to know, we have to be intimately aware of God's character and who he is and how he operates. Because if we don't, we'll be the kid that runs when it's red light and stops when it's green light. And I don't want to be that one. I want to go when he says go. I want to stay when he says stay. And he's inviting us on this journey. And like Miles mentioned last week, what if we were the people that instead of freaking out in the unknown, we actually stopped and said, this is incredible. Like, this is amazing. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ in this room today, let me tell you, your life should be marked, no matter how old or young you are, should be marked by moments where you can just stop and go, that was incredible. Look what the Lord did here and here. I have no idea how that worked out or this worked out. I have no idea how I got that job. I don't know how I met this person or this person. God is amazing in the way that he works things out for those who would yield themselves to his direction. And so we see this in the story of Abraham, the life of Abraham. We see it in our lives as well, that we are people who have been given an invitation on an incredible journey. Because if our baseline of this conversation is that everything is the unknown, and we can know the one who's in charge of the unknown, I'm following him. I'm following him, and I'm not trying to figure this thing out on my own, and I'm also not freaking out in the moment because I know that he's in control. Paul says this about Abraham in Romans. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Y'all, Abraham was 100 when he had his first child. I'm gonna leave that there. Since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yeah, she was close behind. She was in her 90s. Crazy. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That kind of faith is available to you and I right now. God has given the invitation, hey, will you go on this journey with me? Would we be the people who are fully persuaded, as Abraham was, that God is who he says he is, and he will fulfill the promises that he's made? And you see, the promise for Abraham was never really a place. Yes, the Israelites ended up in the promised land. Yes, taking the land that God had for them. But at the end of the day, the promise was actually God's presence. That was the point the whole time. And that's the point for you and I. Yes, do you think God has promised you certain things? Yes. Do we believe that we will be with him one day in heaven? Absolutely. In the meantime, the promise is his presence, not a thing or a place. It is him. He's the promise. And so we walk in faith. You see, Abraham had the opportunity to say no. There's a moment when an offer is extended, when a call is given, when you and I have the opportunity to say no. And instead of saying no, Abraham says yes. And this is the point of the title of the message today, this fearful faith, that you and I could and should have some level of fear as we follow Jesus. But hold on, not the kind of fear that we're afraid of things that may come, but a fear that we will miss out. And so really the bottom line here is we should be more afraid of what we'll miss out on if we don't go than what we'll encounter if we go. Again, I'm going to say this over and over. God is the God of the unknown. He knows what's coming. You and I do not. And so we follow him, not afraid of what we'll encounter with him, but afraid of missing out if we say no to the invitation in the first place. And I remember when Miles called me to talk about coming down to Auburn, to talk about moving down here and being the worship pastor at ACC. And I remember that phone call, and I remember thinking, wow, I mean, God, you're calling me to leave everything I've ever known. I mean, I had a community that was unbelievable. I had a job that the ceiling was unlimited. I mean, I was headed places in that place that I thought were going to be better than anything else in the world. Yet God said, I'm the one who knows what's going on. I know where you're headed, so follow me. And so I remember praying for about 2.5 days because I already knew that this was the moment. Just like Abraham had a moment that he was going to be part of the story and play a big role, I had a moment where God said, hey, this is an invitation. I'm calling you. Will you say yes or will you say no? And for all of us, I do think that we have those moments. It doesn't have to be moments where we feel like we're being called to a different state or a different place. Y'all, I was terrified. I was moving to Alabama. I mean, in Georgia, I don't know if you know this. I just want to let you in on a little secret so you don't like Georgia even more. We make jokes about Alabama. Like, we called Alabama the buffer between us and Mississippi. So if you're from Mississippi, I'm sorry for my sinful past. I apologize, Alabama. I really do. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I'm an Alabamian now. I have a license to prove it. We're going on 3 years here. Wouldn't trade it for the world. But at the same time, I was fearful of what I would miss out on. I wasn't afraid I was moving to a different state. Yes, there was moments where I was like, oh man, that's tough. I'm trying to get engaged. I need to make more money, not less money. I need to know more people, not less people. And the whole time God's saying, I'm giving you a choice. And I believe that God does that, y'all. Like, I believe that God will let you walk away from a decision to be a big part of the story. For you to say yes or no to a moment where he's going, hey, will you trust me in faith and go here where I'm calling you? Or you can stay here. And you can stay where you are. Like, you can stay where you are. But I knew that if I didn't say yes, I'd be sitting at the same Starbucks on Highway 41 drinking a Frappuccino 3 years later, wishing I had been a part of the move of God in Auburn. And I just couldn't do that. I couldn't be a part of missing out. So I wasn't afraid of what I'd encounter. I was afraid of what I'd miss out on. And that's the fearful faith in this, that we walk in faith, not afraid of what we'll encounter, but afraid we'll miss out, of what we'll miss out on. And so I feel like as I was studying and reading Abraham's story over and over this week and asking the Lord to show me what he wanted to encourage us with, the question came into my mind, okay, so I know there's going to be moments to step, and I know that you're asking me to live a life that is totally unknown and adventurous and follow you in it. So how do I do that, God? Like, literally, I know there's going to be moments, and I know you're asking me to do this, but how? And I feel like through the scriptures that we're reading, that he's given me three filters, if you want to call them, filters of faith, that if we would run our lives, building our lives on some of these things versus other things, that we would look back 10, 20, 50, 70 years and go, that was incredible. That was awesome. Wow, remember when this happened, and this happened because we will be walking into the unknown with the God of the unknown. And we'll be saying yes to an invitation to the craziest, wildest journey and adventure you and I will ever go on. And so I think there's three things that if we would live our lives based on these things, that God would use them to produce in us an incredible life of faith that gives glory to Jesus every step of the way. The first is this. We live our lives based on faith over facts. We live our lives based on faith over facts. We put our trust in a God who is faithful, not facts that are fallible. You see, here's the thing. Facts run out at some point. And facts, we just can read on a sheet of paper and say, well, that's just is what it is. Right, 1 + 1 = 2 every single time. Unless you're God, because if facts were just facts and that's all there was, this would mean a whole lot of nothing. Because if facts are facts and faith has nothing to do with it, 5,000 people should not be fed from a little boy's Lunchable. The lame should never have an opportunity to walk again. The blind should only be blind the rest of their lives. And for sure, the dead would never raise to life again. So talk to me about facts and that's all there is. And tell me you want to live your life just simply on what is for sure. And I'll show you a life that has no eternal impact like the ones we read in the Bible about. Because God has called us to live a life based on faith, not just facts. There is wisdom in doing your homework. We're not just saying, throw caution to the wind, do whatever, whenever, however. No, what we're saying is, yes, use wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask for it and it will be given to you. That's a promise from God. Yes, do your homework. Yes, your due diligence, all of those things. But at the end of the day, when the facts run out, all that's left is faith. And when the facts run out and you still have a decision to make and the invitation is still on the table, what are you going to do? If all you've ever lived on is facts, you're stuck. And you can't make a decision and you're paralyzed. But that's where faith enters in. God has so much more for you than just what you can see and what you can measure. Paul says this in Galatians. He says, so again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. It does not say all who rely on facts are blessed with the man of facts, Abraham. Because if facts had ruled Abraham's life, guess what he would have said? A no. Because at 75 years and without two men in a truck, do you know how hard it is to move that many people, that many donkeys, that many camels? I don't. If you do, I'd love to talk to you. But seriously, 75. Then God says, oh yeah, well, you know, you're going to have kids too. There's going to be so many of you, it's unbelievable. If facts were ruling the story, it'd be another no. Because by the time God blesses Sarah and Abraham with Isaac, they're 100. Could you imagine seeing a couple of 100-year-olds walking around with a newborn saying, thanks, first one, congratulations. What? No. And so if facts ruled the story wouldn't exist. And so you and I cannot be ruled by what we just see and what we can measure and what we can put in a calculator on a piece of paper. We must see that God is greater than even the seen things in our lives and give him our lives and say, you know what? At the end of the day, when the page runs out and there's no more facts to run to, I trust you and I will go with you, not just what I can know. Jesus replied, this is in Luke, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. If you are a believer in this room right now and you have put limitations on God and what he can do, when he can do it, how he can do it, I want to stand here and warn you. Take the limitations off of God who created the universe and give him control of your life, because your life will be so boring if you don't. And it will be so much less than what he created you to live in. I'm telling you that right now. Would you trust in a God who is the creator, the God, the one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who created everything? Would you let him guide you in the unknown on faith, not facts? Faith over facts. The second thing is this. We build our lives on praise over pressure. We can be so tempted sometimes to let our lives, to build our lives on the pressure of the world around us, the pressure to pay certain bills, the pressure to send our kids to certain schools, the pressure to be friends with this group of people, the pressure to buy this house, the pressure to buy that house, the pressure to live in this neighborhood, the pressure can build until you and I are crippled by anxiety and the wrong kind of fear. Because we build our lives on the expectations that we think everyone else has set for us. And today I want to encourage us as a church, would you just go ahead and let go of everyone else's expectations for you and only care about the expectations of your Heavenly Father, which is to live a life where you are with him, where you are trusting him, where you are going with him, wherever he goes. You and I cannot carry a pressure we were never meant to carry. You and I cannot carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Jesus did that for us. And so we are freed to live not according to anyone else's expectations or the pressure of anyone else, except the love of our Savior. And if you have not walked in that freedom, I want to encourage you and pray for you that God would open your eyes to see the fact that you do not have to be perfect. It's impossible, y'all. It is impossible. And some of us in this room right now are trying to live certain lives that you will never attain without sacrificing your faith in Jesus. And so we must let go of the things that we are so white-knuckled taking hold of in our lives and say, God, you know what? I trust you. And you're the one that's made the promise, and so I trust you. We cannot build our lives on anything but the Savior. And so in this story with Abraham, if you know the story, again, please go read it. It's such a fascinating story. They finally have Isaac. Isaac grows up a little bit. He's, you know, a teenager or something. Abraham's taking him. They're living life, doing awesome things. And God says, hey, by the way, I need you to sacrifice your son. Abraham's like, whoa, wait a second. I've waited 100 years for this son. And God says, I know. But you're my man, and I need you to sacrifice your son. Yet again, Abraham doesn't respond and say, no, no way, nope. This is the fulfilled promise. We're good here. We're good. He knows and is fully persuaded that the one who promised will come through. And like the writers of Hebrews says, he knew that even if he sacrificed Isaac, that even if God made him carry through with the sacrifice of his own son, that God was so faithful that he even had the power to raise Isaac from the dead. That's how faith-filled, not fact-focused, Abraham was. Is that he believed that God would do it. So if you fast forward the story, God asked him to sacrifice his son. He says, go to the place I'll show you. Again, a mystery. So Abraham and his son take a couple of servants and a donkey, and they're walking along, and finally God says, that's the place. It's a mountain. Abraham's the only one who knows what's about to happen. The only one. Can you imagine the pressure in this moment? The promised son, the one son that God's going to give you and fulfill this promise through, is now looking very unlikely. But Abraham just said, no, I believe he's going to come through. I believe he's going to come through. Which is such an example to us. Like, if you don't see the promise being fulfilled, and if you actually feel like you're going in the opposite direction, hang on. Keep walking. Keep trusting. Because the whole time God is with you. And so they get to the mountain. And this is what Abraham says to his servants. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. This is the ultimate example of building a life on praise over pressure, because the pressure is mounting. Abraham is about to sacrifice his only son, the one shot he had at this promise. And he says, no, we're going to go worship. And then he says, he even has the faith to go a step forward and say, and we'll be back. So they go up the mountain. Abraham puts Isaac on this altar. And he raises the knife. He's about to sacrifice his son at the word of the Lord. And mid-swing, God says, stop. Stop. Abraham stops. He looks over. There's a ram stuck in a thicket. The provision was there the whole time. He just had to step in faith. Sacrifices the ram. He and Isaac return to his servants. But the moment that released the pressure was he and Isaac going up. He's following God in faith, not based on the facts. Because again, if it was facts, he wouldn't be there. Because it doesn't make sense to sacrifice the only person that the promise could come through. And so he walks in faith and they go to worship God. You see, praise puts you and I in our place. Praise gives, if we can even say that, the king back his throne that we took from him. And it puts us where we belong as his children, looking to him and him alone for who he is, our provider, our creator. And there's a posture of worship that should mark the life of a believer. Where when things are getting tough, when the pressure is mounting, that you just say, you know what? I'm not in control here anyways, so the pressure is off. Like, it's off. Feel that freedom. Like, the pressure is off right now, today. No matter what you have up against you right now, the pressure is off because you were never meant to carry it anyways. And so we worship God and we build on a life of praise, not on pressure. I remember when I was 22, I was up in Atlanta working at this church, and I was having heart issues. And you're probably like, oh, just go to Starbucks and talk it out. It's okay. No, I'm literally, like, I'm talking cardiovascular problems. And so, I mean, there was even moments where I was on a stage leading a time of worship, and I had to end the song and go to the back because I couldn't breathe because my heart wouldn't come back in rhythm. And I'm freaking out. I mean, this happened a little too much for comfort's sake. And so finally, was convinced, hey, I need to go see a doctor. So went, saw a doctor, wore a monitor for a month, had to go to Texas. Talk about a TSA nightmare when you got all these electrodes over you. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I wish I knew. Like, and so I've got all these tests and everything. And we come back with all the tests and sit in the doctor's office. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a like worst case scenario guy when it comes to medical things. I try to stay away from WebMD because you look up one thing, you're like, I have a fever, you're dead. You know, that, like that's what WebMD does. And so literally I stay away from that. And so I'm sitting there and this doctor looks at me and he says, okay, we got all your tests back, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you're strangely happy. And he goes, here's the problem. Anxiety. I was like, I know you have a degree in this, but come on. There's no way that literally these physical problems are a result of feeling the pressure of life. He was like, no, seriously, they are. And so over the next 6 months, it was about a 6 month to a year process of me letting go of control of my life and saying, God, you do whatever it is you need to do with my life because you're the only one that knows anything of what's coming down the road. And so I trust you. So God, through some people around me, some mentors, taught me to build a life of praise and not let the pressure crush me. And so we got into a rhythm of praise. And I got put in my place kindly and gently by a loving father who said, hey, I'm going to take over here. You just enjoy this ride because it's about to get incredible. And so we have to build our lives on praise over pressure. The third and final thing is this. We live our lives for our Savior over safety. Savior over safety. No one who ever did anything with eternal significance, you read this cover to cover, ever made a decision based on safety. Ever. Not once. And the people that wanted to live safely, for instance, the rich young ruler, do you know his name? You do not. Why do you not know his name? Because it's not in the Bible. Because he said no, because he was going for a life of safety, not living for a Savior. You see, Jesus gave him the invitation right in the moment, said, come follow me. Come on. Sell everything you got. Leave everything you've ever known. Just like Abraham, leave everything you've ever known. And he walked away because he couldn't do it. Because he was living for a life of safety. And y'all, I love Auburn, Alabama more than any other place in the world. This is a place where it's very easy to live a life geared towards safety and not a Savior. We can find ourselves living for this house, that school. We can find ourselves wanting a certain level of living status here. A life where we want this much. I just need this much in my bank account. I just need this relationship to work out. I just need this business deal to work out. I just need this. I need. No. What we need is a Savior, not safety. We need to follow a Savior who is controlling the story. Because if you and I are building our lives on safety, chances are God's just going to do it without you. And he's going to do it without me. Because no one who God has used to make eternal impacts has said, you know what, I'd rather go with safety. And you and I, if you're in Christ, you're a part of the family. Like, you're good to go. We're part of the family. We're going to see Christ again. We're going to see God in his fullness and perfection. We are going to be perfected in heaven. But until that day, if you're following the rules of safety, you're going to live a boring life. And it's not going to be dangerous for the kingdom. It's not going to be adventurous. And everything about your life is going to look like everything else and everyone else's. But what if we lived a life that was in line with what God is desiring from us? And the call is to come and go with me. We stop when he says stop. We go when he says go. And we follow his voice, not ours. If you're following a life and trying to build a life and live a life for safety, the chances are that you have chosen a life of facts, not faith. That you've chosen a life of pressure, because people who fall under the pressure are people who are trying to live this safe life like everybody else. But the good news today is that you do not have to. I do not have to. Christ is inviting us into this journey. We're saying, hey, it's not safe, but man, it is crazy good. This is what you want. This is what I want. The invitation is so real. And I know for some of us in this room today that God is calling us out of a comfort zone. God is calling us maybe to another physical place. But whatever it is, I know that every single day God is calling us to step away from ourselves and step towards Him and follow His call to go, to be His people here on earth who would make Jesus the headline story of all stories. That's the point. And so if you're here this morning and you have lived a life that has been no, has been categorized by the answer no, the invitation of God doesn't run out. It's not too late to say yes to the invitation to join the journey. If you've been following Jesus for 2 seconds or 2 decades or 50 years, it does not matter. There is more for you and I right now in this moment that God is saying, let's do this. And then we will look back on our lives and we will say, God, you are incredible because there was this moment where you had to come through here. It's like sharing war stories with an old buddy. It's like we went through this together and you came through every single time. That's the beauty of the unknown, that the Creator, God Himself, created what is seen out of what was unseen. So why would we ever doubt that He can't create again in our unknown? We believe He is who He says He is. We are fully persuaded, just as Abraham was, that God is faithful and that we will see Him in our day. Not tomorrow, in this day, today, lead us on an unbelievable journey where at the end of it, guess who gets all the glory? Not you, not me, Him. It was about Him from the beginning. He's just invited us into it. And so we give Jesus the glory by choosing to build our lives on faith, not just facts. To learn the rhythm of living by praise, not pressure. And to living a life for our Savior, not safety. God's calling us as a church, as individuals, to go places we've never gone, to do things we've never done, so that we would live this unknown like never before and see Him come through and do amazing things for His glory. So the invitation stands. Would you say yes to stepping out in faith and seeing where God takes us? Because every day is unknown. So why not trust the one who creates every single day? Would you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.